Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Indeed, Stephen O'Doherty sitting in for Lee tonight. Lee taking the next couple of weeks off while he grieves for his mum, who passed away just a couple of days ago. And I know that many of you are leaving your thoughts for Lee on the Open House Facebook page, and that's wonderful to see. I know that Lee will be touched by that. Coming up, Lee, before he left, has recorded a great interview with Janine Trahan. Do you remember 30 years ago, the America's Cup win? 30 years ago? I must have just been born then. If only. But if you'd like to hear the ins and outs of that, Janine Trahan tells a great story. She is a great storyteller. And you'll hear her interview with Lee Hatcher coming up later in this hour. But for now, 1300 40 2020, if you'd like to join us, please, to talk about the issue of our media and the sexualisation of it, and what's happening to our kids in the middle of all of this soup. If you didn't know who she was a couple of weeks ago, you certainly would know now Miley Cyrus. That name has been much spoken about the last couple of weeks, highly criticised for her dance moves and video clips and sexualised comments and sexualised gestures. And a particular performance, was it at the American Music Awards or the Grammys or something like that? And even if you didn't catch that particular event, and this is part of the story, you've seen it over and over in the commentary since. And so it's certainly entered our culture. And if you're a young person who has any of the following, Facebook, Twitter, whether you're on Reddit or any of the, you know, the myriad, you will have seen the clip time and time again, no doubt. Now, look, we don't want to get into a slanging match about her actions or choices per se, but we do want to have a conversation tonight about the effect that she has, and indeed a lot of other people have, on the culture in which our young people are growing up. This is not the culture in which I grew up. And it's because there are so many different opportunities for different messages to be part of the world that our young people are inhabiting at the moment. But how is the development of young people affected by what they see and hear through the media? Do they start believing everything they see and read? How damaging are these over-sexualized images on young people? Do these messages get into their heads and shape the way they think about relationship? How is their self-worth affected? In a world where good is bad and bad is good, is this cause for concern? What do you think? 1-300-40-2020 is our number. 1-300-40-2020. And if you call now, we'll be able to take your call in a moment or two. Joining me on the phone now is Professor Elizabeth Hansley. She is the President of the Australian Council on Children and the Media. Professor, good evening. Welcome to Open House.
Oh, thank you very much. Good to be here.
Thank you. Firstly, Miley Cyrus, the reaction to her dance moves and video clips. Are we overreacting, or is this indeed one of the big issues of the month?
Look, I think, you know, maybe some people are overreacting, but I think overall the response has been to feel a little sad for her, that she feels a need to put herself about that way to get noticed. She's a very young woman. She's had a she's grown up in the public eye. She just shows all the signs of being someone who doesn't have a particularly good sort of internal compass for what's right and wrong. And the statements that she's come out with afterwards as well are quite concerning, that she seems quite confused about what she was doing and why and so
what sort
on.
Of statements, Elizabeth?
Well, like the one that I read said something like, on the one hand, everybody's overthinking it, I didn't think at all about it. And then in the same breath, she said, there was the other actor, or the other artist who she was with, I can't remember his name right now. But anyway, she and he knew that they were going to change history, and that was what they set out to do. So she's sort of sending very very confused messages. You know, on the one hand, she's saying, oh, she just didn't think about it, it was just a bit of fun. And on the other hand, no, this was this sort of major strategy to change history. So she just, you know, she just shows all the signs of being, you know, quite a sad young girl. And I suppose one of the things that really bothers a lot of parents, and even sort of teenagers that I've talked to and heard speaking about this, she was a Disney child star, and she was a sort of a role model for a generation of young girls. And now she's acting like that. People are thinking, well, you know, either that's very sad for her, or, gee, are all those, you know, young women who used to be the little girls who followed Miley Cyrus going to think, oh, that's, you know, an appropriate way for me to behave too?
I guess it's difficult to understand without being able to really get inside her head. But you wonder, you do wonder whether her wholesome image, whether she wanted to throw that off in a way, whether that's what she's actually trying to do, living out some sort of rebellion in front of the entire world.
I think that there's bound to be some element of that. I think it's pretty hard to... hard to conclude there wasn't some element of that in it.
Well, Elizabeth, if that is the case, then are we seeing nothing more than what a lot of young people will be living out in their own lives anyway? Is this just a natural part of the adolescent rebellion phase?
Oh, no. I mean, if you've seen that performance on the MTV Awards, it was more than that. It was sort of very, very full on. You know, the number of people that I've heard saying, I saw that and now I can't unsee it. It was really quite... Have you seen it? I mean, it was really quite disturbing.
Look, I've seen a grab of it, but...
Yeah. Oh, it was awful.
Without... Because there'll be a lot of people who haven't seen it. They've got no idea what we're talking about. So how could you describe it in a way that was sensitive?
She came out in this very strange little sort of teddy bear suit.
Right.
And she had her tongue hanging right out of her mouth and off to the side, like in a very... a very sort of deliberate kind of way that just, it looked really silly and quite unpleasant. And then she did this very, very sexualized dance. And one element of the dance that people were very, very concerned about was the way that all of the background dancers were African-American women. And there was one particular African-American woman who she walked up to and started sort of spanking on the bum. It was just sort of very, you know, there was a whole lot of racist overtones to it as well. But she did just very, very sexualized moves and dancing. And then this other artist, his name was Robin Thicke, it's just come back to me, came out and he, and she was dancing with him and just doing some very, very sexualized things, like standing in front of him and you know, holding her behind right up against his crutch and wiggling it and things like that. And, you know, it was practically, you know, it was everything but the actual sex act going on stage. And also she took off the teddy bear suit at one point. She was wearing this very skimpy bikini type outfit, which was fine. You know, she looked good in it, I suppose, you've got to say. But at the same time, you think, well, you know, do you need to show that much flesh and do you need to be doing this sort of very... You know, very in your face. You know, the whole sort of atmosphere of it was clearly designed to shock people and offend people. And I suppose, you know, that's enough to make you think, well, you know, do we really need to see this? You know, whether we're actually shocked or offended, we know that she intended to shock or offend us, and that's bad enough.
Indeed. 1-300-40-2020, if you'd like to take part in our conversation this evening. Sam in Strathfield in Sydney. Hello.
Hi. Look, I just heard you talking about Miley Cyrus's Music Awards, as I call it, a debacle. But about a week before that, I saw her latest, purely by chance, I happened to turn on the TV and there was a music show on, and they were doing video clips, and it was Miley's latest video clip. And I can honestly say that it was so horrifying, I had to actually switch it off halfway through the clip. It made the awards night look like the awards night was a walk through the park. It was that disgusting and vile that I just couldn't believe that it actually even aired on TV.
Look, thank you very much for that perspective, Sam. I really appreciate that. And let's see what Michael has to say in Pennant Hills. Michael.
Hi. Just was listening to the conversation and just when you're asking what people thought and stuff. And I suppose I didn't grow up in, I'm 39, but me growing up, you never saw anything like that on telly. And I just think the media and the world, it's like they're trying to push more and more the line and the boundary to go, well, what can we push and what's acceptable? And part of me kind of feels like if I know probably 10, 15 years ago going into a service station and there was magazines that were inappropriate adult material and making a complaint, and then they actually got removed. And part of me goes, and I don't know, as believers and Christians, are we making a stand, or we saying, hey, you know what, that's not appropriate?
Well, why isn't it appropriate, Michael? Let's run the argument the other way. Why is it not appropriate?
Well, coming back to the whole teen thing, and I've got a 6-year-old son, and just even taking, he wants to come in with me sometimes to a service station by an ice cream, and part of me is like, how am I going to navigate this if he looks to the left? Because I'm quite conscious of knowing, okay, there's going to be adult material there, and going, how do I navigate them? And it's, I think, as a parent, going, I have a responsibility to protect and nurture his childhood and as teenagers grow to go, okay, well, there is a line of modesty and, well, I suppose, what looking at to go, what is that line and what's appropriate for young girls to be wearing. And
well, Michael, thank you for speaking as a father and as a person concerned about that. Let's ask Elizabeth Hansley, Professor Hansley, what is an appropriate way for parents to now we have to have a conversation now with our kids because this material is evident. Where you can't wrap your kids in cotton wool, so now you know it begs a conversation. What should we say?
I was really pleased to hear that Michael had complained about the magazines that he saw. There's another organisation called Kids Free to Be Kids, and its director, Julie Gale, has put in quite a lot of complaints about exactly that same kind of thing in the last few years, and a number of outlets have now, I mean, chains of outlets have now said they're not going to carry that kind of pornography, basically, particularly in the same areas as where the kids... is where kids are going to be moving around. So that's fantastic. I think we can't wrap kids in cotton wool. No one suggests we should, but we can make a stand and say, no, this is just not appropriate. And sometimes it's just not legal. These people do push the bounds of what's legal. So by all means, get in there and complain. That's fantastic.
And in terms of the conversations?
Yeah. The conversations, well, to me, the starting point for the conversation is the fact that so many of these representations of sexuality, let's say of sexuality. I mean, they're not really of sexuality, but we know that they're related to sex in some way. And what they're doing is they're propagating an idea that sex is mostly about how you look, that you have to look a certain way to be sexually successful, to have sexually fulfilling relationships and so on. And we as adults and parents know that's not true, that the way that you look is probably the least important thing about whether you're going to have a fulfilling sex life. And that could well be the best starting point for a discussion with a child, once they basically know what sex is and they can see that there's all of this stuff in our culture that is telling them about how sex is supposed to work, that can be your starting point. And another thing is that so many of these representations that we're seeing are highly sexist and objectifying of women and very disrespectful of women. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners would be very concerned about that. And so that's another conversation that you can have with children, with your boys and your girls, about how, women are so much more than just what they look like. They're worth so much more than whether they look good or not. And to take on that kind of conversation and to put it in a context of how women have been mistreated, ill-treated and marginalised throughout history in our society. And yes, we're trying to move away from that, but we still see some of the remnants of it in those kinds of representations.
Yes, and bizarrely you'll find some people in the some women's movement figureheads speaking out for the right of women to be objectified. It's a bizarre, twisted logic.
Well, there's a, I don't want to say a rift in the feminist movement. I would say that there's very strong debate within the feminist movement. There are pro-pornography feminists. To me personally, that's an oxymoron, but there are people who consider themselves to be feminists and think porn is part of women's liberation. As I've made clear, I can't see it myself, but there is that.
Well, let's see what Joanne thinks from Adelaide. Hi, Joanne. You're concerned about the music industry generally.
Yes. My son has gone to some websites where they said men and women who want to go on in the music industry in the secular, they will do a blood pact with the devil to get notoriety, and they become more and more suggestive, and the whole personality changes. And he read out case after case when they did this. They got the notoriety, and they got to the top of the greasy pole,
yeah.
but someone close to them, very close to them, would then die because they'd made this blood sacrifice.
Goodness.
So they would go up the greasy pole in the music industry.
It sounds like your son's watching, reading some pretty old websites. But Joanne, thank you for calling us from Adelaide tonight. Well, Elizabeth Handley, in one sense, you know, we haven't stopped talking. We've added to the problem, have we, by talking about Miley Cyrus tonight?
Oh, look, no, I don't think so. I think, you know, she is something that's going on around us, and it's really important for us to reach a better understanding of what's going on, why it bothers us, and what we can do about it. You know, I don't see anything wrong with talking about it. I think it would be a shame not to.
And what would you say, should you made a difference, you pointed out a difference, you delineated sexuality and what was going on there. What's your take on a positive view of human sexuality?
Oh, well, it's about pleasure, about mutual pleasure, about mutual respect, about intimacy. Yeah, I suppose those would be the main things. And as I say, it's not about how you look and, you know, how much money people spend on each other or any of those other sorts of things that that the advertising industry would like to have us believe.
Just a final question. With the amount of material now about the nature of sexual relations between men and women, and you even referred to some of the actions that were taking place on stage there, is it going to impact on the way people relate to each other sexually as they form relationships? You know, brains are very plastic at this age.
Yeah, no, look, absolutely, and that's one of the things that the organisation I'm president of, Australian Council on Children and the Media, is really concerned about, the influence that it can have on children's developing sexual sense of themselves, and that if they grow up thinking, oh, I have to be thin and gorgeous and look like Miley Cyrus and carry on like Miley Cyrus in order to be noticed and to, you know, to get sexual fulfilment eventually, or social fulfilment for that matter, you know, that's a real concern. Now, you know, one particular instance of one artist doing one dance is not going to do that, but we are living in a society where it's really become wallpaper, this sort of these highly sexualized representations, and unless we identify that problem, say why it bothers us, that it's not just sort of, you know, moralistic wows of pushing back, it's actually saying that this is influencing how children are developing, and we think they're not going to be happy adults if they keep developing this way. You know, unless we take a stand like that, then it's just going to get worse and worse. So I'd really encourage your listeners to think some more about these issues and why it bothers them, and to make a stand, get involved with Australian Council on Children and the Media. We're at childrenandmedia.org.au. Have a look at our website, join up, get involved in what we're doing.
And speak out, make a stand.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Professor Elizabeth Handley, President of the Australian Council on Children and the Media.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.